We talked last week, we started a series on Who Are You? And the first thing we wanted to establish is that we're made in the image of God.
Amen.
And we talked about the Trinity being present at creation and that God made us in His image.
Yes.
Can you hear me now? Okay. All right. We are talking about being made in God's image. And what I wanted to establish last week, and I'm going to continue this week, is talk about we serve a God who's extreme. God doesn't do anything halfway. Isn't that wonderful? And so, because we're made in His image, I'm here to tell you everybody in this room is extreme at something. And what God would love us to do is to channel that extreme into things that make us more and more like Him.
Jesus. Yeah.
Scripture calls it changing us from glory to glory.
Amen.
You see, we're all extreme.
Amen.
I had one of you left here last week, and I told you I'd answer this question. You said, well, I thought one of the fruits of the Spirit was self-control. And the world teaches us that if we're extreme, we have no self-control. Well, I want you to know that you can be extreme in your self-control. That, you can be extreme in disciplining yourself to pray, to worship, to get in the Word, to love when it's so hard to love. You can be extreme in that. And you see, a lot of us run into a problem where we end up developing a bad habit, sometimes an addiction, and really all that is Satan taking what God gave us, and that is our ability to be extreme and funneling it the wrong way. I want every one of you to know that God put extreme in every one of you because you're made in His image. And that is an exciting thing. And we want to be people that are so extreme in pursuing God that that becomes our focus. So we are going to look at a few verses tonight. I want to start with Ephesians 4 just to lay the foundation. And then we're going to see where God is extreme. And then we're going to turn that into us being extreme. So Ephesians 4, I want to look at verse 24. It says, Ephesians 4:24 says, to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. You were created to be like God. That's an amazing thought, isn't it? That God created man in His own image. I'm going to tell you something. When you start recognizing that everybody around you is created in the image of God, you all of a sudden have a different attitude toward how you treat people. Being made in the image of God. Look at another verse. Let's go right over to Ephesians 5:1. Look at this. Yeah, this one, yeah. It's kind of gets the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Ephesians 5:1, be imitators of God as dearly loved children. I'll tell you, when that becomes our focus, that is a good thing to get extreme in. That's a good thing to get extreme in. Now, I want you to look at some amazing verses here. This is exciting for me. So we're going to follow through a few verses, and I want you to see something. First of all, I love this one. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to connect some dots here. We're going to talk about extreme. Okay? If you have Ephesians 1, say amen.
Amen.
All right, we're going to start with verse 18. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Now listen, this is extreme. And his incomparable great power for us who believe. Now look, I want your eyes open to see the power that you have. This is the power that you have. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ, whom he raised from the dead. That's extreme. You have power. Paul's praying that you can grasp how much power you have. You have the same power working in you that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Yeah. That's what Scripture's telling us. Okay, now look. Yes.
What verse is that?
We're in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20 right now. Now look, and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. That's what he did when he raised him from the dead.
Yeah.
Okay? Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given. Not only in the present age, but in the age to come. If something has a title, if something has a name, if there is any power, if there is any authority, Jesus Christ has the power to rule over it.
Praise him.
Amen.
Yes.
I don't care what it is. You tell me the name, and I'm going to tell you that Jesus Christ has the power to rule over it.
Amen.
It says every authority. Every dominion. Everything. Okay? Everybody's got that now, right?
Yes.
Okay, are you overwhelmed yet? Because I'm still processing this, and I've been studying it all week. I'm just throwing it out to you now. Let's go down now to Ephesians chapter 2. Now, this is going to blow your minds. Because this is extreme. Okay? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. And God raised, is that present tense or past?
Yes.
It's already done. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, that is powerful. Please understand, we just read that the power he took to raise Jesus Christ from the dead. And I'm going to tell you that is salvation for every one of us. That is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And if he said, okay, now you've got it, you know, you are saved, and I will see you at the judgment seat. That would have been more than we could even imagine or think. But he doesn't stop there. He says, you know what, I put Jesus Christ in heavenly places, and I have put every single power and authority and dominion and anything that has a name under his feet. Oh, wait a minute. I've also raised you up to seat beside him.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's extreme.
Amen.
But that is what Scripture tells us he has done for us. Do you get that? How many of you are fighting something right now? I've got news for you. You've already won.
Amen.
Please understand that. Scripture tells us that you are seated next to him who has everything under his power. That's incredible. That is just amazing. So, when you go to 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, and it says, I didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of power. power and love and a sound mind. You know exactly what he's talking about. Oh, yes, he has seated me in the heavenly places next to Jesus Christ with all power.
Right
there. That is who I am in the image of God. Hallelujah. That is just amazing. Yeah. He was extreme in his love. He was extreme in his love, for God so loved the world. Doesn't say he loved us a little bit. Doesn't say, oh, he loved us, but you know what? You made me mad just one time too many. No, it was an extreme love. God so loved the world. We did a study on this one time. How do you remember it? How many of you remember us talking about using so much? Remember that study? And how we just, anytime we really want to get our point across as being to the ultimate extreme, we put so in front of it. I am so hungry. I am so happy. I am so whatever it is that you are, tells me that it is to the ultimate.
Amen.
And I'm here to tell you that God so loved the world.
Amen.
That he gave Jesus Christ. And for every one of us that will believe him, he will give eternal life. Praise the Lord. Now, that's the kind of extreme love God has. And now listen, we're made in his image. So you know what that means? That means we have the ability to love to the extreme. I want you to go to 1 John. 1 John is a book of love. It's an amazing book of love. Everywhere you turn, he's talking about love, 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 love. We're in 1 John, we're going to go to chapter 4. I'm going to read something here that is just amazing again. Everybody understands now that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead and seated him beside the Father is where we are. Everybody's got that, right? If you have that, say amen.
Amen.
It'll take you a long time to really grasp what that means. A long time to, because that is extreme. Okay?
Amen.
All right. 1 John chapter 4. We're going to talk about extreme love. I want to start with verse 16. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. Okay, we all know God loves us, right? Does God love you? Amen. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us. Okay, everybody's got that, right? If God is in us, we're capable of loving. Everybody's got that, right? So, we're made in the image of God. The whole reason that we are even able to love, please understand, we can go into a lot of scriptures here on love. I don't really have the time, but what I want you to understand is you are incapable of loving until you accept Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's what scripture teaches. Okay, but once you accept Jesus Christ and you allow being created in his image to become a reality, when you allow that, you are able to love because God's love is in you. Excuse me. Yes. Right. Right. And if they tell you, I love you, say, well, I know you think you do. Don't say that to them because, but in your mind, that's what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Because love, the definition of love in the Bible is very selfless, right?
You're incapable of being that selfless. That's exactly right, Rhonda. Yes. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not hold any account of wrongdoing. I mean, it goes on and love tells the truth. There's so many things that love is, but the bigger thing is God is love. And without God, there's the absence of love.
Amen.
You see, you cannot, the world's definition of love is so messed up.
Yes.
But when you really start understanding the God kind of love, which is the only kind of love there is, I mean, there isn't world love or God love, there's only God love, and the world calls it love, but what they really mean is, I feel, I have these feelings, I'm warm and fuzzy. So, the world's warm and fuzzy, God is love. That's Satan's counterfeit. Good for you, Nancy. Yes. That's Satan's counterfeit to God's love. So until you know God, but once you know God, I'm here to tell you, you can love and love extremely. Because God's love is inside of you. It's extreme. You're made in His image. I want you to go back to 1 John. We're still in 1 John. I want to look at verse 2, or chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Verse 9 of chapter 2. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. You see, you cannot, because the love of God cannot be where it's dark, because as soon as love shows up, there is no darkness, correct? Okay. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. Do you understand that when you love like God loves, there's nothing in you to make you stumble? You see, because if you really go back to the original root of sin, like Rhonda said, when God's not there, it's all about me. And then you start down a path of one stumble after another. That's the original sin. But now I want you to understand something. This extreme love that is inside of us contains supernatural power.
Amen.
Now, we're going to go to Ephesians 3. And some of you are already nodding because you know exactly what I'm going to say, but I want you all to see it. Ephesians chapter 3. And we do Ephesians 3:20 a lot, but we're going to read what leads up to Ephesians 3:20. And we're going to start with verse 16. I pray that out of his glorious riches, that's extreme, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and deep is the love of Christ.
Amen.
And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. That's extreme, people. That's extreme.
Yes.
Imagine being filled completely with God, having that power. And then you know what he follows it up with? Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all I can ask or think, according to his power working in me. Praise and glory. His power is working in every one of us. When we get ourselves established in extreme love.
Yes.
Are you getting this? It's quiet. Yeah, there's a lot here, isn't it? But I'm here to tell you that God is only limited in working in your life based on your boundaries. Don't put God in a box.
Come on here, yes.
Do not put him in a box. He has so much power. And according to this, according to his glorious riches, how many of you have ever sat around and tried to think about God's glorious riches? Think about that. If it's rich to God, it must be just incredible. His glorious riches must be just everything that we can imagine. Heaven on earth, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's the only thing I can imagine for glorious riches, because his glorious riches can't even come close to what we can even think or imagine.